Blog Talk Radio.
How's that for an intro? James Bostic, a conservative perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio, Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be. Because it is some of the very best of libertarian and conservative talk radio that you're going to find out there. Mojo50.com. Just like the top drawer programming you've got here at Patriot Nation Radio. You've got myself here with a conservative perspective. Two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You've got Guapo, the handsome one, none other than Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio, live Thursdays, 8 p.m. Wednesdays, we've got the American Allegiance program, brand new radio host Kevin White, author of the book Growing Up White, also visionary behind Brownie Fox Publications. And we have every other Monday knocking it out of the park just like he always does. And this coming Monday, no exception, my man Gary Benford with United Patriots Uprising this Monday. Mark it on your calendar. And buckle up, because it's going to be awesome. This Monday, July 26th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is where you're going to find this program. Gary's going to be talking with Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn. Yes, that Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn, United Patriots Uprising, this Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't you, by God, miss it. And I'm not playing around. That's going to be huge. Okay, well... Really, basically, the show is going to be somewhat anticlimactic after that because I really don't have anything. It's a good day, though. Beautiful out here in the Mountain State. Mark's got on tonight from the producer of the movie Vaxxed, the one and only Dale Bigtree. He's going to be talking with him about the scamdemic, the Delta variant. We have, speaking of, you know, we may as well just go with that, played this on the Tuesday show, worth getting into again because we need to be reminded, basically, of well, what a rat bastard this guy Fauci is. I know, I'm sorry, I don't think you can say rat on the radio, but anyway, there we are. And he's, you know, he goes up, you know, if he's in the media, the only place he's going to be is like CNN or MSNBC or some place, you know, that's just sycophantic with him. And there's one guy that has gone after him. There's one guy that's gone after him and has gone after him consistently and with good reason, and that's Rand Paul. And they've gone back and forth. And we played this clip, I said, on the Tuesday night show. It's worth playing again. And you know why I do the clips? It's better you hear it from them than me half-assed paraphrasing it. Rand Paul reminding Dr. Anthony Fauci as to the penalties for lying to Congress. Make sure I get the right one. Here we go.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a five-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. Please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combined genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals but not humans to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, "The Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches," these are Dr. Ebright's words, "this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause." Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals and they increase their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Yeah, basically, that's what's going on here. It was American taxpayer dollars that was sent to this Institute of Virology in Wuhan. And guys, just so everybody's clear here, any institute of anything in China is going to involve the Chinese military in some fashion, whether in its practical application, whether in its intelligence potential, whatever it may be. Excuse me. The military is going to be involved. So the Wuhan Institute of Virology, they make it sound like it's this noble humanitarian endeavor that's constantly studying viruses and coming up with new ways to combat them to keep the planet's population safe. No, no, no. It's a weapons factory. There's only one thing that gain of research or gain of function research does. It weaponizes naturally occurring viruses. That's its only purpose. That is its only purpose. So we have a quasi military institute research center in Wuhan province dealing with viruses, dealing with virological studies, virulent strains. Thank you. None of this goes on without the Chinese military's knowledge. None of the research goes on. None of the gain of function research goes on without the knowledge of the Chinese military. A biological weapons processing facility and manufacturing facility that is supervised by the Chinese military is given American tax dollars by Dr. Anthony Fauci to fund their gain of function research. Remember, again, what we touched upon with gain of function research, that is the weaponizing of naturally occurring virus strains and enhancing them so that they can affect humans, so that they can debilitate humans, so that they can kill humans. Because remember, on the battlefield, for every wounded soldier, there's two other guys that have to take him back. So maybe we don't kill. Maybe we just maim, we just wound with this virus. Talk to anybody who's had the damn thing. There are people who have residual issues from this everywhere, every day. I see them all the time. Whether it's something as mildly irritating as the loss of smell, to back issues, to rheumatoid arthritis issues, to liver issues. And where did it come from? Well, a particular interest in this whole mini-series is Dr. Fauci. And, you know, from last year up, Dr. Fauci seemed like on the surface, the calm and informed voice of reason regarding COVID, though it didn't take long for intelligent people to notice he had started to walk back basically everything he'd said earlier. And He even flouted his own mask rules. You guys remember at the Nationals ballpark last summer? I mean, a lot of ego with Fauci, as we heard in the clip just now, and not much substance. But since he had positioned himself against Donald Trump, the drive-by media love affair has continued nonstop. We now know a lot of different things about Anthony Fauci. We know that he knew the virus originated in Wuhan, and it was his illegal use of taxpayer money that helped fund the development of this thing. And now that this is happening, Fauci's getting nasty about it, and the leftists love that because they like nasty people. And the conservatives, they're rooting and cheering and loving on Rand Paul because he's playing it cool and he's using facts to have Anthony Fauci treated and perceived as the corrupt man that he really is. Now, if you look only at mainstream news, the establishment news, and you know who I'm talking about. If you looked at him 18 months after China's COVID assault on the world, you would have to accept, number one, Fauci is the genius who saved us, not only from COVID, but from Trump. You're going to ignore his flip-flops on masks. You're going to dismiss his many and varied lies when it came to herd immunity. You're going to have to overlook his connivance with Democrats to deprive Americans, deprive Americans of early intervention with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, both of which have substantially reduced, may have substantially reduced the massive die-off of America's senior citizens. That die-off, by the way, has saved the government a fortune in Social Security money, as well as estate funds that are used, spent on the elderly and Democrat-run states. So all the things that the media tells us about Dr. Fauci being the great benevolent healer. No. And we know this. I mean, here's what's happening. This is why I call this the silly season. And that is because all these things that are happening around us, they're all still very important. They're all, at critical stages, here and there throughout the half-life of whatever the story or whatever the event is. But at the same time, who the hell's doing anything about it? Even when it isn't the silly season, who the hell's doing anything about it? I mean, we talk about it, and we point it out, and we look at it, and we lay it out, and we unpack it. But in the long run, what the hell happens? Nothing happens. Nobody goes to jail. Hillary Clinton's never going to get perp walked. Nothing's going to happen because Dianne Feinstein had a chauffeur that was, for 25 years, an asset of Chinese intelligence. Nothing's going to happen to anybody. No. It's a big club and we ain't in it. But as John Adams said, facts are stubborn things. And the truth has a way of revealing itself, and there's nothing unsubstantiated about Senator Rand Paul's claims. The truth is, Fauci lied when he denied the possibility that the virus came from the Wuhan Institute, a military research facility in Wuhan, and insisted that it came from the wet market. Our friend Claire Lopez squared us away on this a year and a half ago, when she came on talking about and she had just immersed herself in everything that was going on with the beginning stages of this pandemic and its causes and its origins. Well, that was a self-interested lie, not just because the Chinese were helping Democrats ensure that Donald Trump could not win the election, but also because it emerged that Fauci has the hots for gain-of-function research. And he did. He used American taxpayer dollars in Wuhan to bypass American prohibitions. So you're not allowed to do that here. But he's hot for the gain-of-function thing. So he dumps American taxpayer money, your money, my money. And he gives it to the communist Chinese so that they may further their attempts to weaponize naturally occurring viruses against us. That's the only thing gain of function does. So armed with these facts, Rand Paul is slowly but steadily beginning the process of reducing Fauci's power and reputation. It's pretty safe to assume, on the other hand, that the Biden Department of Justice is not going to do anything about this. But Rand Paul, just to cover his bases, he sent a referral against Fauci to the Department of Justice. And as he explained in Fox News, it's a necessary first step in holding Paul accountable. And he says, I think it's important to know that Dr. Fauci has a self-interest in obscuring any relationship or responsibility for anything done in the Wuhan lab. Without question, the evidence we presented in the committee yesterday, which is where that clip came from, by the way, the NIH was funding research in Wuhan. We showed the exact numerical series of numbers that goes with the grant numbers. So, yes, they were funding the Wuhan lab. Senator Paul also explained the definition of gain-of-function research, as he did. We all know what this means. So right now, as we're talking about it, as we've been talking about it for months, Anthony Fauci is getting away with this because no one, apparently besides Rand Paul, is questioning him. He goes on left-wing news networks to give him easy questions like, Rand Paul is so out there, isn't he? Nobody's going to talk to him about this stuff. They're going to talk to him about the attacks and what he has to go through in the back and forth in these congressional hearings, but nobody's going to talk about gain-of-function research. Let us say, and Rand Paul's pretty good at what he does. I've got a bunch of back and forth between these two guys. And if you ask me, Fauci comes up on the losing end every time. But let us say, as we have said throughout all the trials and tribulations that we have bandied about since this program's been on the air, and that's been it's been a long time. Once again, let's say it's true. Let's say that Rand Paul can do what he needs to do, that he can prove to the world, to everyone that's interested, all and sundry, that Dr. Anthony Fauci is indeed a liar, that he's lying about the gain-of-function research, that he's lying about where this thing originated from, that he's lying about dumping money into the research to weaponize this thing. It's all there. It's all out. We know it is. We see it all the time. Every day, more and more of this information comes out and is not denied. What's going to happen? With this kind of information out there, you would think that we would have heard from the Attorney General as to looking into this and outraged that this kind of thing could happen. And there is no room for perjury in Senate hearings, and no. Fauci is one of the guys. Okay, he's a good fella. All right, there we go. Then nothing's going to happen to Fauci because Fauci's a good fella. He's in with the family. And he knows he's a good fella, and they know he is. You tell me what's going to happen based on what has happened previously, all things being equal. Yeah, that's it. That's what's going to happen. But at some point, and I keep referring to this point of critical mass, wherever it is, and whatever circumstances are, you know, going to bring it about. At some point, something's got to happen. Like we talked on Tuesday night, you know, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And if you look at the action on the left, the property violence, the physical violence, the invective, the rhetoric, okay, there's been some pretty violent action. So when it comes time for this reaction, and Ron said it the other night, Ron Edwards from the Ron Edwards American Experience graced us in the last half hour of the program on Tuesday night, and we talked about this very thing. And he went ahead and addressed it, and he said, you know, at some point, you know, this is going to have to be stopped. And it appears that it's going to have to be stopped, and it's going to have to be met with violence. Now, no one is an advocate of violence, certainly not Ron Edwards, definitely not myself. But, again, eighth grade physical science tells us for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And look at all the different actions. Look at all the actions that have been taken against the center right, you and I. Again, part of that, you know, silent and becoming less so all the time majority, because that's what we are. Look at all the action that has been placed against us, against those people. All the violence, you know, all the wanton and indiscriminatory attacks on our societal institutions, on our culture. And, you know, culture is one of, you know, the three-legged stool of a nation. And what is that? That's our borders, our language, and our culture. Those are the things that most commonly and accurately define the nation. Michael Savage said this years and years ago, and there's no changing it. It's borders, it's language, and it's culture. And there are these malicious and malignant, insidious elements of you know, political subversion on the left that thrive in this environment of violence, of chaos, of terror. You want to look for your domestic terrorists? Yeah, you can talk about the Klan. It's not the Klan. It's Antifa, it's BLM. I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. We all know this. Down at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to take a little musical break. We will be back with more of Conservatives Perspective right here on Patriot Nation Radio.
Trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Well, right away I bought me a through train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody help me get out of visitors at the terminal gate. Swing low, chariot, come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, you're in Norfolk, Virginia, died 1-4-10-09. Telephones back home, this is the promised land.
To me, trying to run me up a quick so you can buy it, go try it, you can pay me next week. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde haired, good looking, trying to get me hooked, won't meet a marriage, settle down and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Pay for something wrong, dime gone, will me order, sue the operator for telling me a tale. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Okay, good. James Bostic here, conservative perspective. That is the kind of Elvis that I'm talking about. That is the kind of Elvis I've always liked. I like the up, you know, fresh out of bed, handful of amphetamines, let's hit the date running really fast, Elvis, instead of that downer barbiturate thinking, oh my God, I can't believe she left me just because I screwed all them women out in Hollywood, Elvis. This is the much better Elvis of the two. Way better. I like him up. Okay, back to it. We do this a lot too, and you know, by damn, I'm just going to keep on doing it because it's like the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about except me. I love talking about this, and you can tell because I've got like a million clips on it. yesterday, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, doing a town hall. And this was CNN. It was Little Gay Don Lemon. Friendly territory. Friendly host. Nothing but softballs. Underhand, slow pitch. Like Nerf softball. T-ball. Nerf T-ball. I mean, there's just nothing that could go wrong here. And the comment that I'm going to make at the end of this is what really ought to, you know, kind of bother everybody. I'm just going to play it. Obviously, it's a town hall, and they're handing him softballs, you know, like, I don't know, like, Mr. President, Quaker Oats or Cocoa Wheats? I mean, I don't know. It's like, you know, that's what he gets. They don't go into any depth. They can't go into any depth. The guy doesn't have the intellectual stamina for anything like that. Okay, let's just go ahead and play it. The question had to do, in a roundabout way, with the efficacy of certain medicines and their temporary or permanent status. And... Yeah, God.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be? We know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved but permanently approved.
Yeah. But wait, That's not all.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well... if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway. I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental my physical as well as my mental fitness.
That's easy for you to say, Joe. I threw those other ones in because once you get started on that stuff, you go down the Joe Biden mental rabbit hole. You just can't set one foot in, man. You got to go. You got to get in there and immerse yourself, and that's what we did. But you get the idea. Okay, we've seen this, and we've seen this 100 times since the campaign. You know, he's a presidential candidate. Now he's the sitting president of the United damn States. He can't put together a coherent answer to a simple question. And he spews out this word salad that, you know, has apparently been injected to his brain via the earpiece that he's wearing. If the stakes weren't so high, if things... weren't so dire, and that's not a word I throw out casually. I don't think, man, probably haven't said dire except in connection to Dire Straits, and that was 30 years ago with a band. It's bad, people. And as our friend Michael Cutler has reminded us, President Biden is surrounded by some pretty vicious people, some pretty cunning and vicious people. And I'm sure that as far as they're concerned, the cloudier Joe Biden is, the better. The murkier this guy is, and he can still ramble around in there, great, because that gives them free rein to do whatever it is they're doing. And what is it that they're doing? Really? Really? Yeah. However, as we see example after example of this, and here's the thing we got to know, guys, it's happening with greater frequency. It's happening with more and more rapidity. That means fast for those of you out at Flat Top Lake. And at some point, it's just going to happen. And I think we're starting down that road now. At some point, the rate of cognitive decline within Joe Biden's mind is going to outstrip any benefit of whatever nootropic cocktails they've got this guy on. It's just not going to work anymore. Now, I said I was going to say something that, you know, should bother you a little bit, and by God, it should, because here's the thing. His handlers would not have sent Joe out there to do that unless this is what they would have considered a good day. A good day.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say, we know that this virus is in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Yeah.
Thus, the leader of the free world. However long that may be. Do you have any idea what the hell he just said? No one does. It's word salad. It's alphabet soup. Being eaten by a dyslexic kid. We don't know what the hell it means. He doesn't even know what the hell it means. Can't understand what's taking the Disney people so long with the animatronic Joe Biden. Can they not make it dumb enough? Apparently that must be the artificial intelligence can't be dulled to Joe Biden's presidential levels, so they can't bring it out. Jesus wept. This was a good day, okay? That's what I'm saying. This was a good day. So, having said that, just think for a moment. Imagine what it's got to be like on the days where they call a lid to things. And they're calling a lid because he is not cognitively up to the challenge of the day-to-day routine that day. And neither is Kamala Harris. Neither is Kamala Harris. She didn't even carry 1% of the vote in her home state during the primaries. Not even a full percent, man. I think she barely beat Eric Swalwell. You guys remember the fart boy? Have we got that? He's worth, and Fang Fang. Oh my God, that guy. And he still got he didn't lose his seat. He bangs a Chinese spy. No, he does. He bangs a Chinese spy, and we know about it. He's on the House Permanent Select Committee of Intelligence. Has he lost his seat? Hell no. Get a load of this. And no, really, he did. Okay. You can't see it on the video, but here we go.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Okay, no, that was not added in. I didn't just, like, inject a fart. Now he's into that. That's real. That was on Neil Cavuto. And here's the thing. You know the bastard did it, because if you can see the video, he's trying to keep from cracking up, the smug little son of a. And then he denies it, okay? Then he has the stones to deny it. And I'm like, what a sophomoric jerk wagon. She had to bang you on orders, dude. A loser like you can't get something. Anyway, never mind. So, yeah, so these are the people in power. These are the people in power. Hell, I could get on there and fart on national television, and I wouldn't shy away from it either. I would own it. If you're going to walk up to the bell, man, you may as well just ring it. I mean, what, you know, Jesus Christ. Okay, it happened. It was embarrassing, but no, not me. Not me. Yeah, it was. Oh, God. That wasn't really even related to anything, but let's hear it again. That was
so cool. We're on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for
bastard.
U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Yeah,
and the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Not dead air, man. I'm just thinking about the empty-headedness of these fools. They just... You know what? Maybe Carlin was right. Maybe we get just exactly what we deserve. You know, maybe we get the political leaders we deserve. Maybe that's exactly what goes on. When it comes to that, I think a large measure, certainly a large measure of Democrat voters, I believe to be intellectually lazy, intellectually dishonest. I feel that they're very dogmatic. They're very doctrinaire. And a lot of people, you know, well, why do you vote Democrat? Why am I a Democrat? Well, I'm a Democrat because my dad, especially around here, my dad was a Democrat. And his dad was a Democrat. And his daddy before him, by God, was a Democrat. And I'll fight you. There you go. Now, these folks... That you know, kind of have that philosophy that it is a tradition, a family tradition, if you will, to stay with one political party. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. A lot of those folks with that philosophy aren't in favor of guys being able to pretend that they're girls so they can walk into a ladies' restroom. They're not in favor of gun confiscation. They're not in favor of illegal aid. They're really not. They're not in favor. They're more, if they are left, okay, let's call them center left, but really more center. But at the same time, because they have this dynastically embedded political ideology within them, they're not voting for people that really support the true issues that they have. They're not voting for people who represent the values that resonate positively with these folks. They're voting for the people that are doing the things they don't want. But they got a Democrat in office. They got a D by their name, so we're going to vote for them. Vote the man, not the job. How many times you ever, I don't vote party ticket, I vote the best person. And you know what, that's great. If you do it That's great. But it calls for a level of political awareness on a national and a local level that I think a lot of people aren't willing to pay the price to do. That's why so many people really don't start paying attention to national politics or in the election cycle. They don't really start paying attention till during the times of the conventions and the last month, 2 months before an election cycle, whether it's the presidential or the off-year cycle. And they watch the debates, and, you know, the media is so canted and so twisted and so anti-center, center-right, actually anti-center-left as well. And so, you know, that takes up the political center and the right. They don't care. And they're going to work, and they're going to manufacture a narrative. And while a large measure of the country is asleep, they're going to run their game. They're going to run their con. Don't believe me? Look at how we got Joe Biden. Am I dogging out the American people? No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I would kind of, but not really. I mean, but it's just the truth. And the American people are tough enough to take a little self-criticism every now and then. If we sit around and we caterwaul and we moan about the fact that we've got such a crappy government, we all do it. Okay, well, how did we get that crappy government? Well, it's the elected officials, right? Well, who put them in there? Yeah, what? So what does this say as to our level of informedness, which is not a word, but we're going to go with it. You get the idea? I didn't have to tell you that was not a word. I could have probably just skated on through there and conned you into it. Anyway, but our level of being informed, what does that say as to the diligence with which we vet these people? What does it say to the questions we do or do not ask? Well, it says we suck at it because look at these guys. They're crooks. They're lying, spy-banging fart letters like Swalwell. They're doddering old fools like Joe Biden. They're empty-headed young fools like Kamala Harris. They're the sons of communists like Pete Buttigieg, edge. So, yeah. Physician, heal thyself. You want a less shitty government? Then stop putting shitty people in there. Start paying attention a little bit sooner than September before the election. Do your homework. Listen to guys like me, Guapo, and Gary Benford, and Kevin White, and Ron Edwards. Don Newman, Donna Fiducia. There's a lot of great, solid, reliable people out there. You don't have to listen to see. You don't even have to listen to Fox for crying out loud. The hell's wrong with you? I'm not really irritable. I'm just, you know, just kind of the way that was. I really feel pretty good, honestly. But you get the idea of what I'm saying. It's you want a better government, it's going to be up to you to put better people in there. And when they start going bad, you know what? You voted them in, vote them out. Yeah, term limits are awesome, and I think they're great because there are a lot of people that just lack that discipline. All it takes is one time. One time. You get in one time somewhere. House of Delegates. State legislature. You're never coming out. You keep raising enough money. You keep working on those people that you're beholden to. And then you're into Washington. You'll never leave. Orrin Hatch once said it is impossible, straight up impossible, to go to Washington, D.C. and return an honest man. Harry Truman said it was impossible, impossible for an honest man to get rich in politics. So, yeah, term limits are great. But, again, you voted them in. You can vote them out and make sure that who you vote in their place has been vetted, that you've looked them over, that you don't buy what you see at first sight. You got to ask the difficult questions, see where they're at. Who do they associate with? We got to start doing this stuff. I mean, there's no way around it. We got to be more responsible in terms of our political education. We have to understand how our government works, really works. Here endeth the lesson. A conservative's perspective is heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation Radio and Blog Talk. radio.com. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, Mojo 5.0.com. If you aren't listening, well, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio that you're going to find out there. Again, quick reminder, Sunday simulcast, Ron Edwards Experience, the Ron Edwards American Experience, 3 p.m. right here on Patriot Nation. Monday, July 26th, D-Day, Gary Binford, United Patriots Uprising. We'll be talking with Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn in an exclusive interview that everyone here at Patriot Nation is just insufferably pleased with. Congratulations, Gary. We're looking forward to getting this on. That's all the time I have. We're going to go ahead and turn it over to the handsome one right now, the one and only El Guapo himself, Mark Hoffman. Hey, Mark.
What's happening, James? What's going on, brother?
I don't know anything, man. I just work here.
You know, me too.
Yeah, and I know you got some good stuff going on tonight, and we are spot up on the hour. Have a great show, my friend. You've got Dale Bigtree's going to be on there with you. Good stuff all the way around. Another guy that's absolutely worth listening to in terms of the scandemic and the fear propaganda that the federal government's shooting all over the place. Have a terrific show, Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio Live.
Yes, indeed, folks. And that was James Bostic, and his show is The Conservative's Perspective. Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Ron Edwards on Sundays, simulcast, 3 p.m. United Patriots Uprising every other Monday, as you heard, the 26th coming up. This coming Monday, General Michael T. Flynn live on United Patriots Uprising. And then on Wednesday, American Allegiance with Kevin White. Check out his book, Growing Up White. Good stuff. Really cool, awesome things happening at the Patriot Nation Radio Network as we keep expanding this stuff.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about the funeral or like the last day when an officer is passed. They actually go and the dispatcher will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number. He will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer.
brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level. And fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA. Right now on Facebook, that's DaveBray USA.
That's right, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission. The Storyteller Edition is out now, so you want to check it out and get yourself a copy of Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition yourself. You will not be dissatisfied. Of course, I want to say hello to everybody out there in Radio Land. I want to give a big shout out to everybody. Our new team, we got a great big team. We got a lot of shows. We got 5 nights a week now on the Patriot Nation radio show, folks. So you want to make sure that you check it out as soon as you humanly possibly can. On Sundays, Ron Edwards, The American Experience. Monday, United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. Tuesday, A Conservative's Perspective with James Bostic. Wednesday, American Allegiance with Kevin White. Thursday, again, with a conservative perspective, followed by this show right here, the Patriot Nation radio show, the show that started the whole network, and we are rocking and we are rolling, coming at you right now. Without further ado, I want to bring in our guest, because we're running out of time. I feel like I'm always running out of time. It's already 8:05. I still got 55 minutes to go, and I'm running out of time. That's my anxiety. I'm always running out of time. Kevin, Gary, everybody in the live feed, please share this at least once to your friends and invite. Hit the invite button. That'd be great. Because we got great response today. And, you know, I want to make sure that we get tons and tons more response. So I'm going to do a little something here. Let me do this. Do I have a copy of the link here? Yes, copy to the clipboard. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring in our featured guest tonight. His name is Mr. Del Bigtree. He is the producer of hit TV show He was the producer of hit TV show Dr. Oz. He is the producer of the movie Vax, which tied the correlation between the MMR, mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine, and autism. He came on the show. You might have seen his viral video near the middle of the pandemic where he did the test with his son when it came to, He did the test with his son with the OSHA certified CO2. It monitors the CO2. It's an OSHA certified one, so it's like the one that they would bring to you at your job. You know, they bring it right to your job and let you, and test the CO2 in the air at your job. And he came on and, you know, he explained all that, and Facebook said it was all rubbish and that it was false information and misleading and all that stuff. We all know that's bull crap. Wasn't false or misleading. It was fact. It was true. The guy did it with the meter, right? He stuck it right in the mask. Even the face shield had elevated levels of CO2 with the CO2 reader. And of course, we're out here. Everybody's out here about this vax and the Delta variant and the controlling of the people and all this type of stuff that's going on in this country. It's really crazy. Some people wouldn't know tyranny if it slapped a mask on their face and told them to stay 6 feet apart from their friends. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Our featured guest this evening, Mr. Del Bigtree. Welcome to the show, Del. Thanks again for your time tonight.
Man, you already got me laughing. We haven't even started. That's hilarious. It's like Master Bitch made you stand 6 feet apart. That's hilarious.
You know?
It's true. It's true. What's it going to take? I mean, boy, do you realize that you've got a totalitarian dictatorship that has just told you the air you breathe is illegal to breathe. That's what's happened. We just spent a year where we are not allowed to breathe the air on the planet Earth. I mean, if that didn't wake you up, I don't think you can be woken up.
It's pretty crazy. Now, my last episode, maybe it was the episode before, I had a young lady on who took the face masks off their children because they came home with horrible rashes on their face, bacterial, you know, fungal infections on their skin from under the wet mask all day. And her and a couple of friends sent in 6 masks that were used all day in school. They sent 3 masks that were brand new, came out of the package. They sent a shirt. And the pathogens, Dell, that came back on these masks was shocking.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Shocking. Well, look, we are in constant contact with deadly bacteria and viruses. This is what people really have forgotten because the media is so busy trying to terrify everybody. But right now, as we speak, you have probably most likely got strep crawling on your arms, around your face, MRSA, all of these things that could be deadly. But if your immune system's strong and healthy, it doesn't affect you. That's how we live on the planet Earth. Your body is so brilliantly designed. Your immune system is handling all of these issues. Every time you take a breath, and it didn't just start this year, for your entire life, every time you take a breath, you're inhaling millions of bacteria and viruses. Every time you eat something, you're eating and swallowing millions of bacteria and viruses. There's a battle of bacteria and viruses happening on your skin as we speak. And your body and your good bacteria and the good viruses have been winning the battle every day of your life. What you don't want to do is throw that out of balance by, say, stop breathing oxygen, by creating a wet environment around your face, not going out in the sun and getting vitamin D. Those are the types of things that can really set you off. And now we are. I mean, I know I'm not having to let you ask a question yet, but we're seeing a rise in RSV, an upper respiratory virus is running rampant across this country in our children. Why? Because we killed their immune systems by blocking them from breathing. It's like we said to the entire world, stop working out, stop working your muscles. We said, stop working your immune system. It needs to work out every day. It needs to be coming in contact with bacteria and viruses. And if it doesn't, it forgets and loses the ability of how to do it. And so those are some of the issues now we're now starting to see. People are getting really sick from RSV. I think we're going to have real problems with the flu, much worse than we ever have before, because masks and the locking down destroyed our immune system.
It didn't destroy mine because I kept living. I'll tell you
good
that right
you.
Now.
Me neither.
They make me wear a mask at work. If I want to pay the bills, I got to wear a mask at work. Everywhere else, since the beginning of the pandemic, I have not worn a mask. My wife got sick. I still haven't worn a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. If I get sick, I get sick. You know, if I die, I die. God has a plan for all of us. If it includes catching COVID and dying, so be it. What I'm going to see on the other side is much better than what I'm leaving behind anyway. It's Jesus Christ, and it's God, and it's heaven.
If that's your moment, unfortunately, it's not going to be a very quick ride there because, as we now know, based on the greatest epidemiologist in the world, John Ioannidis, who's written papers on this, the death rate of COVID is at the worst point for the elderly above the age of 70. It's about 0.26% at best. And for younger people, it's 0.05%. We're talking one-fourth of 1% or one-tenth of 1%. That is how deadly this virus is. So for people that are panicked and running around, it's pure hype, and they've really, really, you know, destroyed our understanding of health. They destroyed our world that we live in. They destroyed our economy. And no one, you know, very few people are going to get to rush to heaven. And frankly, the only people dying are the ones going in hospitals where they're denying the treatment. I mean, this is not a pandemic being caused by a virus. This is a pandemic of the mass medical malpractice. I mean, in a world where – I mean, that is exactly what's taking place. We all know that early treatment is the answer to every single disease that exists. Everything we know, cancer detected early, You know, the flu detected everything we know about disease except this one. You know what they're doing in hospitals? When someone comes in with COVID, if you test positive for COVID, they check your blood. If your blood oxygen level is, you know, about 90% or better, they say, you know what, go home and call us when you can't breathe any longer. When you're having trouble breathing, then call us. And so then the people come back. Now they're at like 70% blood oxygen level. And what do they say? Well, now all we can do is stick you on a ventilator, put you into a coma, and at which point then you have about a 1 out of 10 chance of surviving that. That is what every hospital program has been in the United States of America. Not, you know what, you're at 90%, you tested positive, let's get you on oxygen right away. Let's just pump that up. Let's get you some oxygen. Let's get a steroid in there. Why don't we go ahead and take, you know, maybe budesonide, steroid to the lungs, hydroxychloroquine, you know, azithromycin, ivermectin, all of these things, rocking studies all around the world, but not here in America. It works in India. It works in Brazil. But no, here in the greatest country in the world, our doctors are going to listen to Tony Fauci, which is we have no cure except to send you home, wait till you're dying, and then kill you off.
Well, they've already proved that pretty much the cure for COVID when caught early is the hydroxychloroquine. And what's the other one? Ivermectin. And and the Z-Pack with the hydroxychloroquine cures it. Now, my wife caught it. I slept in the same bed for 8 days before she was diagnosed with COVID. We knew she had it. Everybody at church caught it. We knew that's what it was. I never caught it. My son never caught it. I was hands-on taking care of her. Never wore gloves. I washed my hands. I sprayed a lot of Lysol. That's it. Never wore a mask. And I never got sick. How is that possible, Del, that I never got sick?
Well, it's actually possible because most of the scientists of the world have recognized that between 30 and 40% of the population of the world were already immune due to the fact that they had had some form of a coronavirus over the last couple of years and already developed an immunity. It's called cross-reactive T-cell immunity. We hear a lot about antibodies, but in this, in anyone that's really been paying attention, we know a lot more now about illnesses like this, and antibodies are not the final say. In fact, antibodies wear off whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated and catch the illness. It's your T-cell and B-cell immunity, the long-lasting sort of immune system that's built. That's what's strong. So when they look at, you know, those people that got the original SARS coronavirus over 15 years ago, those people are all testing strong antibodies and strong T-cell, like strong T-cell immunity that's lasted their whole lives. What they've also noticed is that there's these pockets of people that are not catching it, and when they test their blood, when they go into the blood bank and they do tests, what they see is that their T-cell immunity from some other coronavirus is actually fighting off this coronavirus. So you may be one of those lucky people that caught a cold back in 2019, but that immunity that you built up fighting that off has protected you from SARS-CoV-2. And that's a known fact that Fauci does not want to talk about, the CDC doesn't want to tell you about, but that is where we're actually seeing it happen around the world.
There's a reason why they don't want us to, because if we know that there's something that treats it, they can't push their vax. Plain and simple.
That's right.
Now that the vax is out and they pulled the wool over everybody's eye, oh, wait, hydroxy might even work. But the vaccine's out now, and they're pushing it on everybody. So now, all of a sudden, hydroxychloroquine might be an effective treatment. Now that the vax is out and 70% of adults over a certain age here in the Sunshine State have been vaccinated. And look at this.
That number is not accurate. I want to correct that because that is sort of the propaganda that's been put out there. The polls, every poll we're looking at in America, at very best, they're saying about 49% of America got both vaccinations. There's about 52. If you add people that got one vaccination and didn't get the second one because they said, screw that, I got so sick, I'm not doing this, forget it.
Right.
That gets us up to about 52 or 53%. But the CDC and Fauci don't consider you vaccinated if you've only got one vaccination. So based on the CDC's numbers, America has hit right at about 50% vaccinated, which means 50% of our nation rejected this vaccine, this experimental product. So they want to make us believe we're outnumbered. They want to make us believe that we're in the 30% that didn't get it. But the truth is we are standing toe-to-toe neck and neck with the 50%. And I talked about it today. In all the polls and studies they've done of the people that didn't vaccinate, they found that they have high levels of education, that they're capable of reading data and scientific data, and that's what drove their choice. Not, you know, and what do they do to try and grab that 50% that proved to be the smarter part of our nation? They tried to offer them free donuts, lottery ticket wins in California, free beer, free hamburgers, free joints in Colorado. I mean, that's not how you get to people that are reading scientific data. I'm sorry. You know, and so I just want to say that. That 70% number is an absolute fabrication. The country right now is about 50%. You may get up to nearly 70% if you look at the sort of above 70 years old, because those nursing homes really swept through and basically forced vaccinated that age group. But when you look at everyone below that, it really waters those numbers down. So we're at about 50%. They brought the Delta virus to try and scare that 50% into compliance, and nobody budged. The needle didn't move. Nobody bought it.
Right.
So now they're going to go with the Lambda variant. And none of this is really working to change the mindset of, you know, of what we know about this virus and what we trust in this vaccine.
Hey, my friend Allie's watching. Hello, Allie. Hey, so these vaccines were fast-tracked so fast, and people are like, you got to get this vaccine. Now, what I've been saying is, what I feel is coming now is vaccinated versus unvaccinated, the divide. This way we could stop picking on, you know, they can stop claiming racism and all this other stuff. They can say, look, we all united against the unvaccinated, who are all a bunch of white people, black people, Spanish people, Chinese people. We're a bunch of black people, white people. We're all together in this together. And they're going to divide us that way. And they're going to pound into our heads that we got to get this vaccine. And the new division will be vax versus unvax. Do you believe that's on the horizon for this country?
I think that's the goal. I mean, divide and conquer is unfortunately what our administrations in this country are now doing to its own civilian population. We saw it with the masks. I mean, it was like Nazi Germany, California, New York, saying to their citizens, if you see someone not wearing a mask, here's the report line, you call them in. I mean, I always would argue with my friends growing up that anybody would become a Nazi under the right, you know, socialization. I just didn't think, I thought it would take longer than 5 minutes. I mean, it was incredible. The second they open up phone lines, you can turn in your neighbor and snitch on them for not wearing a mask. In California, the phone lines just blew up. Actually, New York's a little different. I love New Yorkers. I was born in New York. I spent many, many years in New York. You know, when they opened up their snitch line, what they ended up getting was a bunch of into them. Because, you know what I mean? You know, New Yorkers aren't into snitching it on each other. I mean, that didn't really go so well there. And, you know, but
I grew up on Long Island.
The truth is, yeah, so you know. I mean, that's one thing you don't do in New York. You don't snitch.
And when I was growing up, this was the real deal. Snitches got stitches. We all learned that.
That's right.
So here you go. You get a bunch of prank calls when you put up the snitch line in New York. we got a call.
I mean, so,
we saw John Gotti. We're snitching.
Exactly. Exactly. But you're right. They are going to try and create the vax versus unvax, make the vaccinated hate the unvaccinated. And we're seeing it, right? All of the news right now. And you got to start questioning it. If you can switch from one channel to the next, whether it's Fox or NBC or CNN, and they're all using the same exact line. And this week's line, if you all heard the shift, it went into, it is now a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is only a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Here in Fauci said 99.9% of the deaths and cases in hospitals are the unvaccinated. Complete and total lie. I have been calling hospitals all over the country. In fact, they're saying the exact opposite. What we're seeing is vaccine failure at levels that have never been recorded before. And, you know, to really get clear on that, you got to look at Israel, which I spent a lot of time on my show, The High Wire, today. Talking about Israel. Israel, as most people should know, Netanyahu sold that entire nation to Pfizer. Israel is the largest. He turned his entire country into a test group. So he managed to, you know, get a very high vaccine rate very quickly because he basically, you know, passed a passport where you couldn't go into, you know, clubs or bars or restaurants and things without being vaccinated. So they very quickly rushed to a 60% vaccine rate, which is one of the highest in the world. Well, just this week, what they're finding now is that where they said the vaccine was 95% effective, remember hearing that? 90% effective, 95% effective
right.
at stopping symptoms. Now, hopefully everyone understood that it was not effective at stopping the infection or stopping transmission, which used to be the entire point of a vaccine. A vaccine is supposed to stop me from being infected so I can't give it to someone else. But they lowered the bar below that for this. All the trials set out to do is say, well, it may not stop infection. It may not stop transmission, but it's going to stop your symptoms. You're going to have lower symptoms. We keep hearing lesser symptoms. Well, you know what? And when we look at the hospital today in Israel, the most vaccinated place on earth with the best records, because they are the biggest study in the world, 60% of the serious cases in the hospital are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and only 40% are unvaccinated. So whereas it should have been, you know, like maybe 16% would experience vaccine failure and the rest, 84%, based on that 9% number, if you break down the numbers, 84% of the people in the hospital should be unvaccinated, but the opposite is true. The unvaccinated are performing better in Israel than the vaccinated. So the vaccine isn't stopping symptoms. People are getting more sick. The death rate is higher in the vaccinated group in Israel. We all have to be looking at this because now this Delta variant, which is clearly getting past the Pfizer vaccine, and I'm not saying that. Pfizer themselves have admitted that our vaccine is not standing up against the Delta variant. That's why we're recommending a third booster shot. Now, the FDA and CDC are saying we don't need a booster shot. Why? Because it is a terrible, it's a terrible play for them when they're trying to get that last 50% to vaccinate. If you tell that last 50% that already read the science, said this thing looks like a dud, it looks like it's causing heart attacks, it looks like it's causing, you know, blood clots, thrombocytopenia, myocarditis, yep. pericarditis, Bell's palsy, anaphylaxis. I mean, anybody that's read it, the material, you see how dangerous this thing is. And now you're telling me two vaccines isn't going to do it? Two isn't going to do it? You're going to need three? I mean, I think Fauci knows. We can't tell people they're going to need three or they'll never get it, but that's where they're at. You know what? If you've gotten the two vaccines, you probably do need a third one because the antibodies and the immunity is wearing off so fast on this vaccine, it is becoming useless. And Pfizer is the one saying that, not me.
Yeah. And I released the numbers earlier in the week that are grossly underreported, if reported at all, barely. You hear crickets, if anything. There's been 11,000, over 11,000 deaths now from the vaccine. There's been 90,000 hospitalizations, like 60,000 people have had to go to their own doctor, like another 20,000 people needed urgent care, like go to the emergency room, get some help and go home. Like you said, anaphylaxis and heart attacks and the myocardio thing that you said there.
Yeah,
you know,
myocarditis. I mean, that's the swelling of the heart, right, in children.
It's
happening in young boys, and the CDC saw it. They sat down. They had a whole meeting looking at all of these teenage boys that were athletes, that had their whole lives ahead of them, that got the vaccine, even though they have no risk from the illness itself. I mean, it is literally like the death rate for children in America is about 0.00004%. I mean, that is a zero by any stretch of the imagination. So there's no risk. But they do have a risk of this heart swelling, which will affect their heart work in the rest of their lives. And if they get it, they're on medication for 6 months. They're in bed rest. They can no longer do their sports. And the CDC said, yeah, we're fine with that. Go ahead. Keep it on the market. Let's go ahead and let children keep getting the vaccine. I mean, people are seeing how corrupt now our regulatory agencies have become. These are regulatory agencies that are completely controlled and owned by the very industries they were meant to be protecting us from.
Now, do we think at this rate right now that more people are possibly dying from the jab, the vax, than are actually dying from COVID? I thought I saw last week like 31 people died of corona and 122 people died from the vaccine in a week. It seems to me that the numbers are flipping. Are they flipping? Are the unvaccinated dying at a slower rate than the vaccinated at this point?
Well, first of all, it would be very, very hard to figure that out. Everything I do is based on data. I have to be able to prove it with the data. But you have your CDC going out of the way to corrupt the data. What did they do? As soon as they started seeing these breakout cases, right, what do they call them? The breakthrough cases, meaning the cases that you got, you know, where they were fully vaccinated and still got COVID. What did they do? They didn't say, let's track that, even though we rushed the vaccine onto the population with an emergency use authorization, which means we basically took the entire population of America and turned them into a test group because we weren't done with our testing on our trials. So the whole nation became a trial group. So then you go, okay, well, then you're going to track what happens in people, right? No. What did they say as soon as we started seeing these breakthrough cases? They came out and said, we are no longer going to PCR test or test anybody after they've been vaccinated unless they have end up in the hospital and die or have a serious case of COVID. Anything other than that, we don't want to track it. That means they know damn well that people are getting asymptomatic, they're getting sick but not going to the hospital. The vaccine is failing like crazy, but how can we tell? How can we tell how many, whether the vaccine is killing people or not? Did you know that if you die or get the COVID infection after your first shot, they consider that unvaccinated? That goes into the unvaccinated category. This is how they're manipulating the numbers. This is a fact.
Yep.
If you
yep.
get the second vaccine within the first, and then you get COVID within the first 14 days, they consider you unvaccinated. The only way you are considered vaccinated by their numbers is if you've gotten both of your vaccines and it's after 14 days. Everything else, that entire month and a half of your vaccine process, if you get infected then, which is happening to hundreds of thousands of people, then they consider you unvaccinated. So look how much they're skewing the numbers with their own vaccine failure. That's going to the column of those of us that didn't go near it. So when you ask me to try and figure out, you know, is it killing more people? It'll be impossible to figure out. But here's what we know. What we know is the vaccinated are ending up in the hospital now at almost equal rates as the unvaccinated here in the United States of America. The Delta variant is getting just as many people that are vaccinated as are unvaccinated. And in Israel, even more, it's getting the vaccinated versus those that are not vaccinated. So what we know is this, that the vaccine is useless against stopping this virus. It's doing no, it's performing no better than the being unvaccinated. And then you have all of the added dangers that we know about, all the heart issues that we've talked about. But one thing I want to make sure that your viewers, I got to get running here in a minute, but one thing I want to make sure that they understand is what we've been reporting since the very beginning when we first saw the warp speed of this vaccine coming our way. We went and looked at all of the trials of every coronavirus vaccine for the last 20 years. They've been attempting to make this vaccine since SARS swept the world. They said, you know what, that one didn't get us, but we should be prepared the next time. So multiple drug yeah. companies have attempted coronavirus vaccines for the last 20 years. And in every single animal trial, let me say this again, in every single animal trial, of every single coronavirus vaccine attempt, they all had the same exact problem. Let me describe it very quickly. It's called immune enhancement, otherwise known as antibody-dependent enhancement, or there's a third name for it, pathogenic priming. What does that mean? Well, they would give the vaccine to the animals in the animal trials, whether it was a ferret or a rat, or in one case, it was a bunch of cats. They inject the vaccine in the animals. The animals don't seem to die. They don't seem to get too grumpy. So they say, look, it's safe. It's safe to inject into animals. Great. First step of the trial, looking really good. Then they draw the blood on the animals. This is what they did on every single one of these cases. They drew the blood. They saw that the body was their bodies were creating lots of antibodies in the blood. So it looked like the vaccine's really working. The antibodies are kicking up. But then what happened every single time is the animal trials go one step further than a human trial does based on ethical reasons. And that's called the challenge study. They actually inject, they challenge the animal to see if the vaccine works. They inject the coronavirus into the animal. And in every single circumstance, what they watched blew their minds. Instead of the antibodies blocking and protecting the animal against the virus, this immune enhancement issue seemed to help the virus into all the cells, helped it proliferate. And then the immune system overreacts with what's called a cytokine storm. It's like a nuclear meltdown where the rods start melting and everything goes haywire. And they reported Th2 immunopathology in the lungs, meaning the animals couldn't breathe, organ failure, and in many cases, death. One of the cat studies, every single cat died after they got in, come in contact with the virus. Now, this is a known issue that we knew with an RSV vaccine program back in the 1960s. They thought it was safe, gave it to a bunch of kids. But then, and they were safe. They were running around school yards. They were seemed perfectly healthy. But then when RSV came to town and swept through the town and the kids caught it, they ended up having a more severe case than a lighter case. And in that situation, two of the children died, and they discontinued that vaccine. We also saw this just about 2 years ago in the Philippines. There was a dengue vaccine called Dengvaxia. They gave that to, you know, tens of thousands of people. It was said to be safe. Everybody was doing just fine until dengue came through. The mosquitoes came to town. And then what usually would be diarrhea, people started dropping dead by the hundreds, and it went over 1,000. I'm not even sure what the final number was. They kicked the health minister out of the country. They kicked that drug company out of the country. But that is the exact same problem they saw with coronavirus vaccines. There's something about these vaccines in animals that the vaccine helps the virus kill the animal. And so this was our biggest concern, and it happens to be one of the biggest concerns of most of the reigning virologists and world, you know, scientists. I interviewed the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, Dr. Robert Malone. He's still concerned about this immune enhancement issue. And so what we're really worried about is that all the heart disease and all of the blood clots and things that are happening now, that's just the first effect. We're concerned about this upcoming fall, you know. Maybe it's Delta variant or some other variant. Maybe it's the fact that when the vaccine starts, you know, waning and losing its ability, that's when this immune enhancement happens. But if this immune enhancement, which they never addressed, they were unable to figure out whether they had overcome the issue when they rushed it into every human being that could get it into the United States of America and around the world. Can you imagine what happens if this fall that coronavirus starts hitting people that have the vaccine, and instead of their bodies, you know, having like a 0.2% death rate, which is where we were at, what if it's 5%? What if it's 10%? What if they die at 50% or 90%? We won't be able to stop it, and we won't be able to get the vaccine out of these people. And what are they going to do? They're going to say, we're dying because of the anti-vaxxers. They're already saying that. It's the anti-vaxxers' fault that all of us vaccinated are in the hospital right now. I mean, when have we ever seen an issue where it's the people that didn't use a faulty product that are the reason the faulty product is killing people? I mean, this is crazy, and you're right. This division between vax and unvax, they're going to try and do it. But frankly, the unvaccinated have already proven to be smarter enough. Now we've got to stand on the ground and make sure that the rest of the world understands what's going on and try to really help protect and figure out how to save these vaccinated people who I think are going to be dying at higher rates over the next couple of years.
That's one of the concerns I had from the get-go is what's the long-term effects of this vaccine? What happens in 5 years? Every vaccine gets tested for 5 years in a controlled study for a long time to make sure that it's safe and effective, and they can log the side effects and let everybody know, look, these are the side effects. You can still take it if you want. Instead, they just give it to us. What are the long-term effects? What's going to be like in 5 years? That's what people are – that. And look, before you had said it, you know, the ones that aren't vaccinated, they're like the educated ones, the smart ones, the ones that went to school who have the ability to research. I'm just a common idiot, right? I got a GED. I do a little radio show, and I go to work every day, blue-collar work, I break my back. And I was able to see the writing on the wall. I don't know why – how come I can see it, but the guy next door, the guy down the block, and the lady at church don't understand. Or do they just not have the ability to research and look into this all by themselves? Who out there could say, oh, in 2020, it was only 2,000 flu cases. Can you believe only 2,000 people caught the flu in 2020 and believe that? Like, I can't believe that Americans are that gullible, but I'd be the case then, you know?
Well, I think, you know, in some ways, they're just proud Americans that really trust their government, trust that their health agencies are what they are entitled or titled as, which is a health agency. I can't blame them. And then they turn on their news station, and then, you know, they've got Sanjay Gupta or, you know, or Rachel Maddow telling them how terrifying and deadly this virus is, even though it's only 0.22%. And they're telling them the vaccine is the only way out, even though you've got ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, budesonide, all of these treatments working in studies, the best studies done around the world. And then they're pushing the one product that didn't go through a study, the vaccination, the one product that killed animals in the animal trials. That's what they're pushing. Why are those news stations pushing it? Because, I mean, I worked for CBS. I was a producer on the daytime talks with the doctors. I mean, I know what it takes to do medical television. I know what it means. You're working for Merck. You're working for Pfizer. That's who's paying for the commercials. That's who's paying for the advertising. So what your average viewer doesn't understand, you know, they believe in America. They believe that their job is to do what the government tells them. I mean, I get it. It's a great ideal. I wish I could tell you that was a good idea. I wish I could tell you that the news was really reporting the news and telling the truth. But you got to look at those commercials between the breaks of your news program. And if you see them selling drugs, if you see them selling vaccines, then know that that is what is paying for your news anchor. They work for that company, not for some news agency. They work for Pfizer. They work for Moderna. They work for Sanofi Aventis. And so you're not getting the truth, you know. And guys like you and I, especially if you came from Long Island, bro, we're just skeptical, man. We're designed to be skeptical. You don't trust anybody. And you especially don't trust people that make billions of dollars making you supposedly healthy. So our red flags go up naturally, you know, right away. But I can't blame those Americans that were taught to believe in a system. This is the greatest nation in the world. But right now, our government has a disease. It has a disease of corruption of funding. It has a disease of lying. You know, it has a disease of murdering all around the world. You know, all of things which, you know, as I grew up as a progressive liberal, you know, I was talking to Ron Paul the other day, and I said, what are the value systems of a libertarian who says, do not kill, do not lie, you know, do what's best for the people. It's that simple. It's like, you know, just because a person can't walk out and kill someone in the street, our government shouldn't be allowed to do it either. And I was like, hey, that makes perfect sense to me.
You know, medical choice, you know, whatever happened to my body, my choice, that only works when you're going to kill a child, or does that work for everything? My body, my choice. If I don't feel like taking it, I shouldn't have to be forced, guilted, ridiculed, attacked, bullied, pressured, or anything. If I don't want it, I don't want it. You want it? I'm glad people are getting it and they feel safe. That's their choice. God bless them. That's what makes this country the greatest. You have a choice. Other countries, you take it or you can't do shit. Look what they did in France, right? Now you can't do nothing in France. You gotta have a vaccine passport now to go anywhere. Now, God bless Eric Clapton. He said, I'm not playing in any venues that are going to discriminate. So you might find Eric Clapton playing in your local bar here pretty soon.
That's right. Now, you got to love the guy, but unfortunately, he came to that realization after being injured by the vaccine. Right. I mean, the guy's hands are practically crippled now. He can't play his guitar, or at least not for very long. Who knows if he can even do a concert? But he's trying to let the world know that one of the greatest guitar players in history has been robbed of his gift by this vaccine. People need to know that.
Yep. So now if folks want to find your show now, because I was always finding it on Facebook, but now I see it, I go and I watch it on YouTube. But how can folks find Highwire with Del Bigtree?
All right. So we have been kicked off of Facebook. We've been censored off of Facebook, censored off of YouTube. But the best way to watch our show is just go to thehighwire.com. We have a brand new website. We have a social media platform we're building ourselves so people can speak freely on thehighwire.com. That's launching this week. But every Thursday we do, you know, all of the news. I bring in world-renowned scientists. Last week I had a whistleblower from inside the WHO. As I said, I had the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, period. He's come out against it. I interviewed Dr. Michael Yeadon, who was an ex-vice president of Pfizer running their vaccine department. He's terrified of all the things I've talked about. So we have world-renowned scientists that CNN's not telling you about, not even Fox, frankly, even though I think Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham have been really boldly getting out there. For the most part, you can tell that there's funding at Fox from pharma, too. If you want the real truth, you really don't want to know what's happening in science, I stole most of my team from the doctors. We decided to make a show where we are not controlled by any sponsors. We don't have Pfizer. We don't have Moderna to answer to. We are telling the truth. And we're also starting what we call the Highwire Protocol, which is we're being accused of misinformation. But every single Monday after my Thursday show, everyone that signs up to our newsletter, I put all of the evidence in your hand. We email you all the studies I cite, where all of our information comes from. Every video we use is in your box so that you can go to the link and read the whole study yourself. Read the whole article yourself. I'm demanding that every news agency do that. We shouldn't be getting away with just telling you what I think or making it sound like fact with no information, nowhere to know where to look for it. I'm putting it in every one of our viewers' hands, and our viewers have exploded from tens of thousands throughout this COVID pandemic to now millions around the world are watching the high wire and growing every day. It's all about transparency in media, and I'm demanding it from everybody else. But we're walking our walk. We're walking our talk. We also have a legal team that's suing government agencies. I released 3,000 pages of Fauci emails just 4 weeks ago that our legal team acquired. We have hundreds and hundreds of pages coming in every month now from that request that's being met. We've sued and won against the FDA, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, and Health and Human Services. Where we don't get the truth, we sue until we get it. And so there's no show you're ever going to watch like this. I've never watched a news program that actually sues the government when they're trying to hide information. That's what we're doing on the High Wire. So everyone can see this incredible job our team is doing at thehighwire.com.
That's www.thehighwire.com. Check the live feed comment section there. I posted it right there for you folks. Make sure you head out over there. Get the truth. Don't listen to the news. Don't listen to Rachel Madcow and the Communist News Network. Don't listen to any of these people. I'm waiting for Madcow to come out with Biden's tax return. You know, she was like, they had this big deduction. Here we are. We're going to release this big news. We got big news. We got one of Trump's tax returns. And here it is, folks. Drum roll. He paid... Oh, crap, $34 million in taxes. Never mind. Dun, dun, dun.
It's outrageous. I'd love to see a report on Hunter Biden's lap, you know. How about something that we're all really interested in?
There's a good hashtag, hashtag laptop from hell. Check it out.
Yeah.
Really crazy. Del, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. A great guest, as always. Remember, we have shows 5 nights a week here. We have some great hosts. If you're interested in spreading the truth on other shows, just have Jimmy send me an email, and we'll organize that for you. We got a bunch of great shows. Sundays with Ron Edwards and the American Experience. He's already syndicated on AM radio everywhere, and we simulcast him. We have Gary Binford, who's a New York Newsday and New York Daily News writer back in the day. He's now doing the United Patriots Uprising, and he has General Michael T. Flynn this coming Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. And, so we're really doing great things. We have the American Allegiance with Kevin White and, of course, a conservative perspective with James Bostic and my show, Patriot Nation Radio. We're really trying to spread the truth here at the network because we believe in America, freedom of speech, and the way of life that we so enjoy. And so let me know if you want to come on any of these other shows. Come on my show anytime you like. We'll be checking out High Wire, as always. Great show, great information all the time. And I want to thank you again, sir, so much for your time. And tell Jimmy thank you so much for hooking us up and getting this on the books tonight. It's very important that people can hear what's really going on, not what the mainstream media is telling us.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for fighting for America. This is our time. We are being demanded upon us to reach down into that DNA of our founding fathers, that DNA of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and those have always fought for freedom in this country. We are now being asked to do that again. We have got to fight for our freedom because there are multinational interests that are now laying siege to this nation. They've destroyed our economy. We have a virus that leaked from a laboratory, whether it's in China or America or those bad players that are involved. We are under attack right now. And now that they're saying the unvaccinated are the ones that are, you know, killing people, that's waging a war against the citizens of this country by our administration. And so it is time to stand up, recognize. I want everyone to recognize if you are not vaccinated right now, you are among the 50% of the brightest in America. And if you happen to be one of those people that were pressured into the vaccine, either by your employer or your school, but you really didn't want it, just know we're fighting for you too. Frankly, we're fighting for everybody because what I believe in is the freedom of choice. You should be able to choose whether you're injected or choose whether you're not injected. And if we lose that ability, it doesn't matter what side of this aisle or what side of this discussion you're on, If the United States of America and that government can inject you with products that you have no control over, then you are no longer a free citizen. I would say you're not even a slave. You are a farm animal. You are being treated like a farm animal. Be careful about the news that tries to make you hate your neighbor so that you vote in policies that are going to treat you like a farm animal. You are a, you know, a human being with God-given rights, not constitutionally given rights. The Constitution protects our God-given rights. So stand
Amen.
Up and stand strong. We are not even outnumbered, and we're smarter than they are. Hold the line. It is time to win this. Thank you, Mark, for your great work and all the people watching. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
God bless you, Del, and thanks again. Keep up the good work, ladies and gentlemen. That's Del Bigtree. Check out The High Wire Thursdays. You can find out www.thehighwire.com. Get on out. Don't miss another episode. Get the truth. Get the articles, everything, the research cited in your email so you can see and that you have ammunition to fight back against these propagandized, these people that have got the blinders on, the people that have been brainwashed by this media, the lying, twisting, and just outright manipulation of the people so that they can push their agenda. Follow the money. Whoever got the money, they're the ones pushing it. That's a fact. That is a fact. No doubt. It's just like the guy on the corner selling crack. The one with the money is the one pushing it. It works in the drug world. It works in the mob world. It works in baseball, football, hockey, and in life. That's simple. The ones who are making the money are the ones pushing it. If it's Coca-Cola, the guy making the money, he's the one pushing it. If it's not the guy who's, you know, sticking the cans into the box or loading the truck so they can deliver them. It's the guy at the top with the money. That's the one pushing it. And those are the ones that you got to watch. Again, ladies and gentlemen, High Wire with Del Bigtree, Thursdays. Check it out at thehighwire.com. That was an amazing episode. We got a lot of truth, justice, and information out for you folks. You know everything's a lie. It's a scandemic. Yes, people are getting sick. People are getting sick. There's no doubt about it. But it's a bullcrap. The death rate is low. People are dying from the vaccine. They're not telling you that 11,000 people died from the vaccine. They're not telling you that 90,000 people had to go to the hospital. They're not telling you that there's been almost 4,000 heart attacks. They're not telling you about anaphylaxis. None of it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of vaccine injuries. And they are not reporting it. You can find it if you look on the CDC website. It's in there at the where they are reporting the adverse effects. They have the whole part of the CDC website there. I couldn't tell you it right now. I go to the CDC website, I find it. You can find it. It's all there, except they hide it. They try to make it hard to find. They don't want you to see the numbers. They don't want you to see the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. They want you to get gassed. That's all they want. Someone's making money. And the long-term side effects of the vaccine, who knows what those are going to be? The trial ends in 2023, folks. What trial do you say? The trial that you're in, the trial that you took the vest. You are the lab rat. You are the trial. Thank you for being in that group, and I'll watch the results myself as this rolls on. It's a really scary, scary situation that we are in this country. First, unvaxxed. That's what's coming, folks. Vaccine passports in France. You know, they keep saying September they're going to lift the mask mandates on airplanes. I think that's bogus. I think by September they're going to say, when you come on a plane, you have to have 15 masks and a hazmat suit. And don't forget rubber gloves and rubber boots and maybe some saran wrap and a rubber band. I don't know. You know? It's crazy. It's never going away, folks. This is it. It's here. This medical tyranny is here. They're gonna impose their tyranny through the medical field, through mandates and quarantines and vaccines and all this stuff. And you think it's not coming? Maybe it won't, because you're gonna stand up. You're gonna make a difference, because you love America. You are not gonna let it happen. You, the American people, are gonna make a stand, finally, I hope, and see the truth. I feel bad because they forced basically President Trump to fast track this vaccine. It's one of the mistakes he made for sure. And the other mistake was standing side by side with Fauci as he spewed his bullshit. You understand? Other than that, he's the greatest president of all time, and I will be casting my vote for President Donald Trump in 2024. He is still my president. If he said something, I will listen to him before, way before I listen to the people that are in office now. And you know what? The Democrats are losing faith in Kamala Harris and Dingy Joe, Kid Toucher, President Biden, losing his mind every day. Did you hear the ramblings of this clown the other day? Holy moly, you can't understand a thing he's saying. He's mumbling. What the hell is he talking about? Half the time, I don't even know. I'm going to look. I think I posted it in my story from today. Let me find it. It's pretty something pretty funny. I don't know if I can find it yet. I don't know how to find it on this thing. But anyway, he's rambling on. He can't make any sense. And I feel bad because my father passed the complications of dementia. You know, it's what brought my father down. I hate to see anybody. I don't want Joe Biden to go through that. It's horrible. Much as I dislike the man, I do not wish him to die of anything, especially dementia. Complications from that, it's horrifying. And there's no way I want to see the guy go like that. I want to see, you know, go to bed one night and meet Jesus. That's it. No pain, no gain. You know, just peace. Anybody. That's how I wish everybody would just go to bed. And that's it. Good night. No pain. No suffering. That's it. That, in a perfect world, that's what it would be. Unfortunately, we live in a world of suffering, pain, and agony. And so, suffering, pain, and agony is usually the way we go out. But Jesus Christ suffered, and none of the suffering we do could ever surmount to the suffering he went through. So I'll take it if I have to. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's what I'll do. Won't be wearing a mask. We'll not be getting it back. If God wants me to die of COVID-19, then I will die of COVID-19, and I will meet my maker. And that's it. They're not going to force me into anything. All of a sudden, HIPAA laws are gone. Who the hell is this person standing in at the mall or something saying, can I see your vaccine paper? Sorry. Nope, I'm by HIPAA laws. You can't know my medical history. I'm not telling you shit. I'm not wearing your damn mask. You can stick it. So there you have it. That's it. No mask, no vax, usque ouye, as they say in Pig Latin. I ain't doing it. I'm sorry. And if you hate me for it, and you're going to be against me, you're going to bully me, try to make me feel guilty, you're not going to do it. Nope. You will not. I am a free American who makes my own medical decisions for myself. If I feel like I need the vax, I'll get the vax. If I feel like I don't need the vax, I will not get the vax. And right now, I am not getting the vax. You got to be careful what you say, too. You got to watch how you write things, say things. They're censoring us. They're banning us. I got a warning this week because I was talking about General Flynn, and they're telling me that I'm spreading false information, and they're going to block. They're going to erase my account. Whatever. If they go back on my account like they always do, go back in history 5, 4, 5, 6 years back, they'll ban me. They'll kick me off. But that's life. That's the way it goes. That's the way it is in Facebook fascist land, and that's the way it will be. And as long as we keep using these forums, that's the way it's going to be, plain and simple. And we're dying to get President Trump's social media network going so we could go somewhere and us Make America Great Again crowd can go there and be at peace, you know, censorship, and say F Joe Biden if we want to, say the fact the vax is fake, that the pandemic is a scandemic. Whatever we want to say, a freedom of speech forum that we can go and say what we feel and feel what we say when we say it. You know what I mean? So, now, next Thursday on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Now, folks, I'll be married next Wednesday, 25 years. We're going to renew our vows next Wednesday. Amazing stuff. 25 years married. Hallelujah. But on Thursday the 29th, Jeremy Brown, retired special operations military guy, was approached on a few different occasions and asked to infiltrate the crowd, act as an agent provocateur, supply information, and rabble-rouse during January 6th by the FBI. He's blowing the whistle. He wants to know let people know that he came and was confronted by the FBI. He recorded it. He's got it on video, and he's got it on audio, the phone call. He says right on the call, hey, you know, I'm going to record this call. You guys like, no, I'm not going to. And they try to recruit this guy. He's coming on the show. January 6th was an FBI-CIA setup. They knew there was going to be a million people there, and they knew it was going to be easy. It was simple. Put on some Trump gear and break some windows and go in. Now, look, Ashley Babbitt lost her life, and they're giving people sentences 8 months, 1 year, 5 years. I see one guy got 5 years for going into the people's house, the people's capital, the capital that is bought and paid for by my, your, everybody's tax dollars. You're not allowed in there, even though the cops open the door and let you in. They cleared the gates. They moved out of the way, and they let the people in. It was clearly a setup to bring down the greatest president of our time. And it worked for now, because I know the people have energy for this next election, and they are not going to hold back. So with that, join me next Thursday. Oh, and then back then August 5th, I have Forgiato Blow. He just put out a song with Vanilla Ice, believe it or not. Ride That Horse. We're going to play some of his music. He's one of the greatest patriots out there right now. He's just shaking hands with the president recently at one of the rallies, doing great things. Forgiato Blow, live on Patriot Nation Radio next Thursday the 5th. So you want to join in. And with that, folks, I want to get ready for this, one of my favorite parts of the show, because I just love this great song. It is the Star Spangled Banner. How many people love the Star Spangled Banner? You know, unless you're on the Girls Olympic soccer team, you pretty much love the national anthem. You know, if you're a New York Islander fan and you're at the game and the microphone cuts out for the lady singing the national anthem, the whole crowd sings the national anthem. Great stuff. So, folks, join me, please rise, as we do the national anthem. Because here at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag and we kneel at the cross. We do never kneel at the flag. So here you go. This is Dave Bray, his version of the Star Spangled Banner. www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Don't miss it. Until we meet again next Thursday, 8 p.m. on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, I'm Mark Hoffman, your host, signing off. Until we meet again, peace and love to you. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you. There is no show without you guys, so thanks. You are the show. Not me, not my guests. You are the show. Thanks.